Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to enter into the world of the paranormal with your hosts, Sherry Peng and Jason O'Fear. Explore with us the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and Bigfoot. You can also call into the show at 215-383-3999 and join the discussion.
Hello, everyone out in internet land. I'm Jason O'Fear. Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. Here with my beautiful co-host, Sherry. How's it going?
Oh, hanging in there, Jason. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Been a busy week. I had to actually work a little bit this weekend, but I did get today off, so I got some stuff done and just spending the day relaxing.
Good. Good for you. Good for you. Well, anyway, we should, I want to make a quick announcement. What can I say? Anybody that would like to have some input on any subjects that you would like us to cover or topics that you would like us to explore, why don't you give us a call on chat or on the phone, or just go ahead and Facebook us, and we'd be happy to go and find a guest to cover that.
Always looking for new subjects or even old subjects we can cover again. We've covered a lot in the paranormal, but I'm sure there are things out there that we haven't touched that are always interesting.
Most definitely.
But you found us a great guest tonight, something that we haven't talked about in a long time, which is about the healing properties of crystals. And I don't know if you know this, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but back in my youth, I used to be really big into crystals, and I used to have quite a large collection of stones and crystals, and used to be really into that. Now, it's been such a long time since I've kind of studied that or been into it, but I can definitely use a refresher tonight. And it looks like our guest is in queue right now, but do you want to tell us a little bit about who you lined up for us tonight?
Yes, her name is Jessica Bull, and she's had a lifelong experience and education about crystals, and I just would thought she's such an intriguing person, and she just knows so much about the stones and their healing properties, and like you said, their metaphysical properties. I always just thought, hey, that would be great. I think we had a pre-discussion on our previous show, but I don't think we've really discussed just crystals itself. So I think that would be kind of interesting just to get her on the show and just talk about the common crystals and how we can benefit from it.
Yeah, do you own crystals? I don't even know. Is that something that you're into?
I do, but I don't work with them. I do wear something that is kind of off the beaten path, I think. It was handmade for me. It was a gift, and it was handmade for me. It's what they call moldavite and a tumbled kyanite. So, yes, maybe Jessica can let me know what the metaphysical properties is and what the combination is, how that affects my well-being or how it affects me spiritually as a psychic medium and a Chinese medical intuitive. But that's going to be interesting to have her on air. Okay?
Absolutely. Well, let's bring her on right now.
All right.
Hey, Jessica, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm doing
well.
Jessica, how are you?
How you doing, girl?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Very good. And we're both excited. Actually, I am, and not only I am, but I feel that Jason's excited to learn more about crystals himself. So.
Oh, wonderful. I remember a while back, Jason, you were talking that you did have a passion for crystals and rocks a time ago. So I remember you telling us about that on air.
Yeah, one of my favorite things, and I haven't done this terrible in a long time, is I go rock hunting out in Central Oregon. In fact, there is actually a place out there that we had met with the Bureau of Land Management Forest Service because me and a buddy of mine had made a fossil discovery out there. And we got to name the site, but we would go out and collect fossils. And unfortunately, Oregon isn't very interesting in terms of stones. I mean, there's thunder eggs and agate, but there's not a lot out here. I really wish I lived in a state where I could actually get, you know, quartz crystals and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. It's very very soothing and to stress relieving to go hunt for rocks, huh?
Yeah, no, it's great. And unfortunately, I'm a lot more domesticated now and old, and yeah, so I don't have the energy I used to.
No, I hear that.
Not Jason, domesticated and old.
Well, in anticipation for the show, I went ahead and did a little research and took some notes because, you know, even though I know everything, I can't remember it all at once. So, okay, that's a joke. But so I took some notes on some of the most common crystals that most people would see in any generic shop for the most part. As I'm sure you've noticed, anywhere you go now, there's combinations of stones on bracelets and wire wrapped crystals for sale, and you know, I've even seen them at the mini marts and things, so it's definitely becoming more popular. However, I'm not sure that everyone is aware of the properties of these stones, so I thought, well, I'll pick some of the most common ones and we'll go from there. So I hope that will be okay with you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
That's perfect.
Okay. Perfect. And so the reference materials, I did use some reference materials, and they were penned by Judy Hall and Cassandra Eason, just to cover any bases. Those are the two ladies that I've found have some real good insights on some of the deeper metaphysical properties that aren't commonly known. And I'm sure you guys have heard of Judy Hall. She wrote the Crystal Bible series and also the Encyclopedia of Crystals. So she's pretty well known in that field. And Cassandra Eason wrote the Illustrated Directory of Healing Crystals. And she gets into a little more of how you would use your stones in everyday life, rituals and things like that, which I wasn't going to go into too much ritual unless you ask. But I wanted to just get this information out there, and then we can take it from there in conversation, if that's okay.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
That's fine. That's perfect.
Excuse me. Okay, perfect. Well, I want to start with the powerhouse. That's the one that's what I like to call clear quartz, because it is just a phenomenal healer and energy booster. And this is the type of crystal, the clear quartz, that you would find in a crystal radio or a quartz watch, because the energy field is so pure it actually acts as a battery, and it will run for literally forever until the electrical portions break down inside the component of the watch, for example. And because clear quartz contains all colors, it's a multidimensional healer, acting on all levels of being. A quartz crystal doubles a person's biomagnetic field. And I found this interesting. Acupuncture needles coated with quartz powder have shown a 10% increase in their efficiency, which I thought that was really interesting. So obviously in other healing modalities, people are starting to catch on to the properties of these crystals. And quartz takes energy to the most perfect state possible, to a point before disease of any type is set in. As a deep soul cleanser, it contains the physical dimension with the mind. It connects the two to where you can actually be one in a meditative state. Quartz stores information and can help dissolve karmic seeds from past lives and mistakes that we've made on our journey. It enhances metaphysical abilities and attunes to a spiritual purpose. Quartz is an all-around stone, healing and amplifying continuously, and when focused with intent, will carry on those wishes and instructions until cleared and reprogrammed to do something else. So if you have a big quartz crystal, for example, and you put it in your family room, like that's your, we have a family crystal ourselves here, and we program it with our intent, and it continuously resonates with the intentions that we've put into it, until we decide to change those intentions and make it do something else. And it will carry that input and that it'll resonate that information, well, for longer than we shall live, really. It'll just keep doing it until you tell it to do something else. I love clear quartz. Is just, it's fabulous to work with. It really is, and it will help to amplify any other stones you have with it and increase their properties as well. So it's a real good one to have. Pretty common, you'll see that quartz crystals in a double point. And if you tossed iron filings around them, you'll see that they'll form a magnetic field just like they would around a magnet, which is pretty interesting.
Really?
And, oh, yeah. I've seen it. I've seen that happen. As long as they have a double point, because then they have a north and south pole, they'll form the filings around those poles. It's pretty interesting.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, it's pretty crazy that it'll run a watch too. You know, the battery itself is run by a crystal. That's what you find in a quartz watch. So yeah, it's amazing. There's definitely energy in there. You can't refute that. You know, it's definitely there. It's just, yeah, how to access it. That's the trick. And just for, you know, people starting out, when they, you know, go to a rock shop, for example, and they're interested, but they're not really sure how to pick the stone, typically the stone will pick you. You'll find one that resonates with your own vibrations, that is a similar vibration to what frequency you are on. I've seen them actually jump off the shelf and land towards my feet, like, no, pick me, pick me. However, if you hold your hand over a pile of them, one of them particularly will call to you, and you'll be able to know that's the crystal for you. And, of course, if you find one, well, that's even better, because that's kind of like nature's gift to you, you know. So that's the basis of the clear quartz. And then we have another very popular stone, rose quartz. And rose quartz is the stone of unconditional love and infinite peace, perfect for healing the heart and heart chakra. Rose quartz also represents beauty. And its deity is Venus for that reason. And this crystal is nearly always present in a love charm, a love bag, things that are rituals that attract love from others. And rose quartz is very good at attracting love. Most importantly, it promotes self-love. And this stone gently allows the release of emotional pain while at the same time filling those emotional holes, so to speak, with self-love and acceptance, forgiveness. And this works very well in meditation. It is perfect for those experiencing the loss of a loved one or trauma survivors. It's very good at relieving some of those deep-seated pains. Rose quartz aids in the acceptance of change, and as such is very good for the so-called midlife crises that we tend to go through. Excuse me. And when you people who do daily affirmations in the morning, for example, like the daily word, holding a rose quartz while you're stating these positive affirmations, they will be enhanced. You'll have a little extra power boost there when you're stating your daily positive affirmations. And place rose quartz in the room of your home where people congregate the most to ensure a loving and open discourse, usually in the living room or wherever family or friends tend to congregate in your home. A nice chunk of rose quartz is always good for that area to help keep everything calm and loving, open, and warm. So rose quartz is a nice one. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I need to – I'm going to go out and buy the biggest piece of rose quartz I can because I need to attract love in my life.
It's phenomenal. It really is. And even if you take like a bath, like a rose water bath, and sprinkle a little – raw quartz in there with it, rose quartz. It is a very calming, meditative, relaxing state. Like if you're in a state of anxiety, that's a good way to kind of calm down and forgive yourself and let some things go without feeling guilty about it. I don't know. I personally put a lot of pressure on myself that really isn't mine to carry, and rose quartz helps me get rid of that and be okay with everything. So it's a popular stone. I mean, not to mention pink is beautiful. I prefer rose quartz to be raw rather than in points and such like that, but wands and spheres and, you know, they're all good things. They just, rose quartz is, big chunks of it in the family room is a good place to start.
Can I ask you, Jessica, what is the difference between, and I know it's physically as we can see, Mm-hmm. What is the, I would say, powerful? Is it used for different things? If you have something that is faceted compared to its raw state, for us listeners, what do you think there is a difference, or should be applied differently, or what is your take on that between going to a rock show and buying a big chunk compared to buying a loose piece of, you know, like a pendant that's faceted or a ring or earrings or something like that? So what's your take?
Great question. Okay, well, my answer to that would be depending on what you want to use it for. Typically, if you just want, for example, we'll use rose quartz, you want a chunk of rose quartz for extra harmony in your room as you have a family gathering that's coming up, I would use raw or a sphere. But any rose quartz that's formed like into a wand, for example, is used particularly for healing modalities when you're doing energy work on a patient, for example. And having a rose quartz wand just, you know, sitting there isn't really utilizing it. It's still going to have the rose quartz properties, but it's really meant to do something else. And another thing to take into consideration is that they don't form into wands and spheres naturally. So somebody had to make them, a lapidary had to make them, or lapidarist, I believe is the term, had to form these raw stones into a symmetrical shape. And any intention that that particular individual was thinking at the time is going to be imprinted on your stone. And who knows what they were thinking. If it's mass-produced at a warehouse, you have no idea what kind of chaos perhaps it could have been exposed to. And they do imprint these vibrations. So when you buy a sphere or a wand or anything that's been carved by an individual that's not yourself, smudge it or cleanse it in the proper manner to make sure it's clean and fresh and ready for you to use, so it's not carrying forth any type of chaotic energy that may accidentally have been imprinted upon it. Does that help
answer
the question?
So you want to clear it out, get a smudge stick, and for the intention of whatever energetic imprint, you want to clear those old energy, just like rebooting and starting all over, correct?
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
Perfect. Yes, you got it. Does that help answer your question, Sherry?
Yes, that's great. Thank you.
Okay, you bet.
Okay.
So I'm going to move on to one of my personal favorites, and I wear a smoky quartz ring every day. I keep it with me always, and this is one of my favorite stones. And smoky quartz is one of the most efficient grounding and cleansing stones. Smoky quartz is nature's psychopomp, which is the spiritual guide of a person's living soul in Greek mythology. This spiritual guide leads the soul to the afterlife, and that's what smoky quartz represents. That's what it is. So it's very good when someone is crossing over because it is so grounding. And smoky quartz has an incredible link to the earth, and as such will ground even in the most flighty of persons. I mean, the most flaky person you can possibly imagine, a chunk of smoky quartz or a pendant of smoky quartz will help ground them and help keep them focused. It also blocks geopathic stress, absorbs electromagnetic smog, and insists in elimination and detoxification at all levels, bringing a positive vibration in to fill the space. Smoky quartz fortifies resolve in difficult times and teaches how to leave behind that which no longer serves you. So it's excellent for those suffering from depression or deep depressions because it alleviates suicidal tendencies and is an antidote to stress. So this one, Jason, I remember you speaking last week on air that you were hoping for a stone for stress. This is it.
Yes. stress and anxiety, that would be...
Smoky quartz and rose quartz together, I think, would be really, really good calming for you. Really good for you.
I cover myself in stones. You know,
yeah,
and
exactly.
I don't even know anymore. Back in the day when I used to be in it, I knew there was a rock shop in Lake Oswego, but I don't even know in Portland where I would go to buy stones anymore.
There's a shop on Barber called the Healing Heart, I think, or the Crystal Heart. Gosh, I'm trying to remember the name of it. I know of that one, but in Portland I'm not real familiar. There's a good one in McMinnville. It just recently opened. Gosh, I can't remember the name of it either. I'm terrible at this. And I know there's one, the Crystal Mirror here in Salem, Oregon. She's got a lot of good stones, too. But, you know, you can get them off the Internet. I think Amazon, for example.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
That would be easy.
They're becoming popular to the point where they're everywhere.
I'll have to get on Amazon, and because I've recently discovered Amazon, like, within the last few months, so I've been ordering stuff like crazy, but it never occurred to me that, well, it's probably got stones, so I'm going to look at that tonight.
Do. Yeah, I'm certain they would have something that would interest you. And, and so smoky quartz, it also aids those struggling with being in this current incarnation, basically meaning this lifetime, you know, free spirits who haven't been here before, this is their first time, they're struggling with the realities of the physical plane. Smoky quartz is very good at helping them create a link to this plane, to the earth itself, so they're not so frightened and uncomfortable. And because smoky quartz is often naturally irradiated during its formation, it is excellent for treating radiation symptoms or chemotherapy symptoms. So if somebody's going through radiation therapy, smoky quartz is really good to have with them at all times because it helps absorb some of that excess so the body's not taking it all and having those icky side effects from the radiation or the chemotherapy. So that's a pretty good one. And I've actually seen that work with my aunt. Oh, my gosh, my great-aunt, actually, years ago, she had lung cancer that had gone into remission once, and then it came back. And I remember my dad had given her a big smoky quartz and green tourmaline, and her cancer went into remission again, and then she was cancer-free for almost 40 years before she passed.
Wow.
Yeah, and she passed at, like, 98, so she lived a real long time. You know, well, a good life. She wasn't sick all the time anymore or anything like that. And I know my dad was, I'm sure he put the intention of healing into these stones when he gave them to her because she didn't believe in this kind of stuff. You know, she was a classical old lady, you know. She wasn't into all the New Age things, but I can definitely testify to that. It I want to say it cured her because it was gone within a week. She went back and there was no more trace of it. And it didn't come back until about 40, 45 years later. It's pretty interesting. So smoky quartz is one of my favorites. If you know, on Facebook, there's been a lot of photos of crystal bathtubs, like an amethyst bathtub or a quartz bathtub. I want a smoky quartz bathtub. That would be just the ultimate stress relief, you know, the perfect bath right there. Smoky quartz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like you could get lost in that tub, you know? That'd be awesome.
So are they not made out of solid crystals because that would be too big. Or what are they lined with crystals or infused or something?
From the photos and descriptions I've seen, I think some of them are actually carved out of a stone. Actually, have been carved to a bowl shape. But the only other way I would think would be to form them together with some kind of epoxy or line the tub with the crystal itself and then have the basin of the tub be something else, you know, like you said, because they are huge and there's really not that many formations on the planet that are big enough to accommodate, you know, a 5-foot bathtub with any waste to spare, so... I don't know. I'd have to look into that more because I also saw some Labradorite countertops, and oh my gosh, I really want that. They're gorgeous.
Are they amazing?
Beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. The sheen of the Labradorite, you know, the blues and the golds and the greens come out on these countertops. It's breathtaking.
I think we shared this, is that I've seen the malachite, the dark forest green,
yes.
The malachite.
Yes, the malachite trim showers and stuff, yeah. Yeah, I would, personally, I'd stay away from those ones. Malachite can be very aggressive when it's digging up old issues. It doesn't do it with a gentle sway like some of the other stones. I'd be afraid of that one because I got some pretty nasty demons. I don't want to fight them all at once. But malachite is a beautiful stone.
Of course.
It is truly
beautiful. Okay.
So another very common stone that you'll see just about anywhere or on any casual bracelet, you know, the little stretchy bracelets, is Apache Tear Obsidian. Now, a lot of these stones, Apache Tear being one of them, since it is an obsidian, it carries the generic properties of its parent stone, which is obsidian in this case. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the raw obsidian first, and then we'll get into the Apache Tear. Because, like I said, they have some of the parent properties are the most prominent, and then the more subtle properties of the separate stone, which is the Apache Tear. And that's a form of obsidian that's a lot thicker. It's opaque. It's not glassy looking. It's easier to form it into spheres, for example, and it's very black and opaque stone, very smooth and nice sheen to it. And Apache Tear carries the base properties of obsidian. And obsidian was used for scrying by the Aztecs and is a very powerful scope into the soul. It has no crystalline structure and as such has no boundaries or limitations, working extremely fast and with great power. It mercilessly exposes flaws, weaknesses, blockages, and disempowering conditions within the person that you're scrying or within the self if you're looking into yourself with this stone. Nothing can be hidden when scried through obsidian. It provides deep soul healing, going back to past lives to heal generational traumas. It is highly protective, forming a strong shield against negativity. It absorbs negative energy and blocks psychic attack. It clears confusion and constrictive beliefs and goes straight to the source of mental and physical distress, revealing it so it can be processed. And it's not a gentle process with obsidian. With raw obsidian, it can be aggressive. Apache Tear, however, is a much gentler form of obsidian, and it gently brings up these exposed flaws and blockages and allows them to be transmuted or transformed into a positive healing way. Apache Tear is also an excellent protective stone, absorbing negative energy and protecting the aura. And it stimulates analytical thought and removes self-limitation. So with Apache Tear, I find that to be a very, very beneficial stone for PTSD and depression and any type of traumas that are recurring in your present life. And used with rose quartz, it's a fabulous, fabulous combination because the Apache Tear acts more gently than the obsidian, and it does bring these negative things to the surface so you can deal with them, and the rose quartz fills those gaps in with the self-love and the acceptance. So that happens right away when you use these two stones in combination, and it can be a very gentle or a more gentle healing process than if you were to just use straight obsidian or, for example, malachite, because malachite's has similar properties. Then Apache Tear is just beautiful. Black's one of my favorite colors, so I really love that one. And do you have any of those specimens, Jason? Were you able to find any in Eastern Oregon? Jason?
I don't know. Jason?
Oh gosh, I thought I got cut off for a minute.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. I was just curious if Eastern Oregon had any places where you could find Apache Tear. So
I'm not sure about that. I know, I've heard Eastern Oregon has, you can find obsidian.
Oh, okay. Well, you probably could find this form of obsidian then as well. So it's just, and I'm assuming that our audience knows what scrying is, but just real quickly, I'll throw this in. A scrying is a form of divination where you would gaze into a flat slab of obsidian to see the past or the future or into the soul, similar to like a crystal ball, for example. So scrying is like seeing in a divination way, trying to see the future, for example.
That's pretty.
So another popular stone is citrine, And what's interesting about citrine is that it is related to amethyst. The only difference is that citrine was under a different heat than amethyst was. So sometimes you'll find these geodes with amethyst and citrine in there together, because one part of the rock stayed warmer longer than the other while it was forming, so the crystals turned orange instead of purple. So I like citrine is a real nice, gentle healer. And it's a golden orange crystal. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Isn't citrine supposed to attract abundance financial? Is that supposed to help you with that? Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
Yep. Yes, it is definitely. It's very beneficial for attracting abundance, and it should be placed in the wealth corner of your home or placed in the cash box when you're doing like a venue or something, or in your wallet even to increase the abundance of wealth on your person.
Oh, nice. I should do that. No.
Oh, yeah. Actually, when I was doing my research today, I had it in the back of my head that I needed to put a citrine in my wallet, so I did.
Boy.
And then not even like 3 minutes later, my husband gave me some money.
It
I was like, oh, cool. That worked quick. I mean, that's not quite what I was going for, you know, because it's kind of shared money, but hey. I had to laugh. Like, see how quick that worked?
Money's money.
Right? I know. It was pretty funny. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. So, oh, wow. Okay. So
citrine
is white. Is that going to be a little bit of a combination, correct?
What was that?
A citrine could be orange, but it also may have some white in it.
Yes, it can have some white, or it can be a dark orange, almost brown, like so almost a smoky color. It can be a deep burnt orange or a golden orange or a bright orange. Exactly.
It's different.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So, and citrine encourages sharing, and it also brings joy to all who hold it. It's kind of like light when there's darkness or joy when there's sadness. Citrine is very good for bringing joy into a person's life or into a situation. And it's very good for smoothing over group or family discords. And it reverses self-destructive behavior. This crystal promotes inner calm, allowing one's natural wisdom to emerge. So when you're meditating, for example, but let's say, you know, you got to calm down, you're anxious, you had a bad day, and you know the answer to the situation, but gosh, you just can't access it. Citrine is very good for clearing that clutter out and allowing your inner wisdom to come forth and present you with a solution to a problem or situation. Citrine's very good with that or for that. And it assists in emotional balance and works best when worn against the skin. So, yes, you want to put it in your wallet or in your wealth corner, but when you're using it to balance your emotions or anything like that that's a physical aspect, you want to wear it against the skin. Citrine is a powerful regenerator and cleanser that carries the power of the sun, and as such, it never needs cleansing. However, I do cleanse mine by placing them in the sunlight around noon in the morning for about an hour, once a week or once a month. It just depends on how cluttered they get. But
you said moon or noon, you said?
Oh, noon with an N.
Noon, you're kidding. Really?
No. I prefer morning sun because it's the cleanest and freshest sunlight.
Okay.
So when I'm using sun to recharge a crystal or cleanse something, I'll do it in the morning, not the afternoon. And so anytime before noon, it's just a more pure sunlight.
Right.
In my line of thinking, anyway.
Okay.
And but other than that, I mean, you don't really technically need to recharge it because it's such a powerhouse anyway, but it's always nice to give your crystals a little cleansing and a little extra boost, especially if you're working with them on a regular basis.
Okay.
And as I said, citrine is related to amethyst. Very similar in crystalline structure from what I understand. I'm not a geologist, but I have read up on it considerably. And there's a beautiful stone called ametrine, which is an exact split, a 50-50 split of citrine and amethyst together from the same crystal structure. And so it carries both properties, and that's a beautiful stone as well. But that's a little more decorative.
Okay.
I was having technical problems, so I had to reconnect, but so I was gone there for a few minutes, so that's why I was quiet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I was.
And I thought you fell off the side of the earth.
No, it's
I was thinking, I hope he didn't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
a problem with the microphone, so but everything's all good now, so we're good.
Good for you.
Well, I was curious, Jason, have you ever found any Apache deer out in eastern Oregon?
Yes,
awesome.
I've found Apache deers, a lot of obsidian, did a lot of like common opal, thunder eggs, agates.
Mm-hmm. Sunstone.
And never got anywhere. I know there's a sunstone place, but I've never been there. Most of the stones that I had were actually ones that I had, you know, paid a lot of money for. And I had a lot. I had like these meteorite tektite things. And you know what I had, which is really cool and it broke, was I had a pendulum that had, it was a double terminated fluorite, multicolored.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, it was, and fluorite is really fragile and it broke into three pieces, but it was just the coolest thing. And I think on the end of the lanyard, there was amethyst and what was the other? It was adventurine on the end. It was cool.
Yeah, absolutely cool. Yeah, good stuff. Okay, so I was going to next up on our list, amethyst. Very popular. In ancient times, I thought that this is funny. I thought this was pretty funny, but in ancient times, this crystal was used to prevent intoxication. That's one of its properties. And one of the uses was the wealthy merchants or landowners would use goblets made of this stone so they could hide the water that they were drinking in their goblet whilst their guests were served wine. Thus, better deals were made for the host because he remained sober while all his guests were getting tipsy on the wine. But because he was using amethyst goblets, you couldn't tell he was drinking water. Like, oh, that's kind of manipulative. But those are some of the physical properties of amethyst. The metaphysical properties of amethyst opens multidimensional awareness and enhances metaphysical abilities. It is excellent for meditation and scrying. It guards against psychic attack, transmuting it into love or a positive vibration. Amethyst is a natural tranquilizer and harmonizes body, mind, and emotion, linking them to spirit. This crystal is helpful for people about to make the transition through death and supports coming to terms with loss and those left behind. Amethyst protects against overindulgence and helps overcome addictions. And with this stone, cleansing it, because amethyst is a pretty gentle healer. It's a gentle crystal. You want to recharge this one under the light of a full moon. Leave it out in the yard, in the ground, so it's actually touching the earth while the full moon shines on it to recharge its properties, especially if you're using it a lot for healing. And selenite, that's another popular one. Typically, you'll see selenite in the towers in some of these stores, or as lamps where they have the lights, the light socket up inside of them so they glow a real pretty color. We have a selenite tower on top of a LED crystal in the wealth corner of our room, or excuse me, LED coaster. So it shines the multicolored LED lights through the selenite tower. It's really very pretty. Definitely good for ambiance. But and we call this stone the bringer of light, selenite. With a fine vibration, this crystal induces clarity and balance, accessing angelic energies. Selenite anchors the light body to the earth vibration and has an ethereal quality, said to inhabit the space between light and matter. Selenite is an ancient stone which can be used for scrying into the future or the past, and it brings about a conscious understanding of what is taking place at an unconscious level. That's very good for meditation as well. Selenite is also known as the lover's stone or the crystal of partnerships. It creates a firm foundation for long-lasting commitments. Selenite encourages communication and enables one to see through lies and deception. And Although my understanding is selenite's another one that doesn't necessarily need to be cleansed. I clean ours in the light of the full moon because it's a gentle crystal. You don't want to, you know, get the sun can be pretty intense when it's, so you want to kind of cleanse that one with, I've also soaked mine in salt water before too when it got really contaminated at a fair we did one year. And when actually we brought the crystal tower home, it was gray. It was unbelievable. It had picked up so much smog from being at this event that we had to cleanse it. I cleansed it in salt water under the full moon twice before I let it come back in the house. It got pretty, it soaked up a lot of cooties there. But it's a beautiful snow, like a snow white tower that we have. And when we brought it back, it was a dark, deep gray color. It had soaked up so much negative stuff. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, that's not coming in the house.
How can
so
you tell
it supposed to be white instead of, is it an off-white or is it different shades of selenite? You know, could it be actually white or could it be a little bit, you know, like a eggshell color? What color is actually selenite?
White. It should be white. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It really should be white. Now, depending on what it was cut out of, for example, I'm not sure how the crystal itself grows. Like I said, I'm not a geologist. It can have some residue of the surrounding rock or dirt on it that'll cast a yellow hue to it, but or pink for that matter, but typically it's white. I have seen pink selenite, though, and that's also beautiful.
Oh, I bet you it is. Wow.
Yeah, real pretty.
And how do you know if your crystal is, like, absorbed negative energy and stuff like that? Is it just give off a different feeling, or like how do you know when you need to cleanse it?
Well, it can give off a different feeling for sure, but typically it's just a rule of thumb, especially if you're using it excessively or every single day you're using it for the same purpose. If you're trying to work through some issues, for example, and you're meditating every day for a week, you want to give it a break and let it recharge. In this particular instance, we had our selenite tower on the table where my husband was a vendor at a fair. And we just had it there as a decoration and to kind of bring, you know, good energy to our area. And it had picked up all the other energies that walked by throughout the two-day fair. So it had actually turned color at that point. But a good rule of thumb is to make sure they stay cleansed if you're using them on a regular basis, or if you had a particularly nasty event happen, like there was a blow up at the house or something and there was just a lot of icky energy, you're trying to get rid of it, it imprints on crystals, so you want to cleanse them too. Like when you go to smudge your space, cleanse your crystals also.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now there's going to be people listening that are going to be naysayers and say that, oh, they're just rocks. Is there any sort of, I don't know if I want to use the word scientific, evidence that suggests that these rocks have these properties?
Well, I would say the scientific evidence for the quartz crystal itself is the fact that it can run a battery, and that's an actual fact. So, like I said, when you have a quartz watch, the crystal's running your watch. So the energy is coming from somewhere. It's coming from the crystal. So one can hypothesize from that point forward that if the quartz crystal has these energy properties, then other crystals also would have them because they come from a similar place and they form in a similar way. As far as the actual science behind it, I don't know. I wish I could give you a reference book or something like that with them. I don't even know if scientists are experimenting with these things on a different level at this point. But that would be interesting to know for sure.
Yeah, no, it really would.
I wish I could.
I used to enjoy them, and I used to be into the healing thing, but I never got super deep into it. I think it was kind of a phase that I went through, so I didn't really experience anything crazy with crystals. I just liked them.
Well, yeah, and they don't tend to be, you know, crazy things. I mean, you know, they're not, you know, a Ouija board, for example, where you people have all these legends about what happened when they played with it. Crystals aren't really like that. But people who are sensitive to energies can definitely feel that there's an energy emanating from them, for sure. And even people who don't believe in it, it works whether you believe in it or not. It is what it is. So even if you don't believe in it, it's still doing its magic on you, you know, as you wear your pretty amethyst pendant and you're six shots of tequila in and you're not drunk. Well, there you go. It's your amethyst pendant.
I'd like to see somebody do that.
Well, it was just an example. I haven't personally tried the whole, six shots because it's like, one, two, three, four. But
I try it, but I don't drink, so.
Right. And honestly, I don't either, not anymore. But, back when I was 20-something, sure. But, amethyst, that's what it does. That's what that crystal is primarily for, is to prevent intoxication. And it does have very good healing properties as well. But that was its main use back in ancient times even. So somebody had a clue about it without the scientists saying otherwise. So, Sherry, you were saying you had a moldavite, was that it? Moldavite necklace? Was that a necklace you have?
Yes, it's a handmade piece of moldavite with the polished kyanite. And kyanite resembles, to our listeners, it's blue. There's different colors of kyanite, but the pattern of it is very similar to selenite, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Except
it that
lines,
like that.
It looks like it has lines in them,
mm-hmm.
that pattern.
And a long crystalline structure, right.
Exactly. So this pendant is shaped, it's handmade, and it's got the kyanite, a polished kyanite, which you can't even see the lines. It's just polished, and then below that, towards my heart, is the moldavite. And I want to find out what you think in the combination of both. And I have worn it, and you know me. I'm very sensitive to energies and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerhouse, to be honest with you. I feel
It's
just amazing. I think some people that are, not used to the intensity of the energies, it can cause heart palpitations.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Out of this world type of feeling. But, I love it. I love the combination. But maybe you can tell me what you think of the combination as a rule, especially if it's polished and faceted.
Well, both stones are high vibration stones, and what that means is that they're vibrating on a higher vibration than your average stone, I guess is the best way to say that. So
okay.
Having two high vibration stones working together at the same time, it's no wonder you have heart palpitations. That's a lot of energy around you.
I don't have heart palpitations anymore.
Oh, good. So
well,
you probably found some balance in there.
It's not because of the necklace.
Your body probably found some balance in there, or something happened to help it calm itself down. They are
both high. I've
been wearing
this for 3 days, and it's been wonderful. I love it. Just really intense, but it's very. Let's put it this way: I meditate on it. It seems like I'm out of this world.
Well,
literally.
That's because moldavite is not from this world. It is an extraterrestrial stone that comes from meteorites. So anytime you find moldavite, you're going to find it around where a large meteor struck the Earth, and that moldavite fuses with the earth energies or the earth particles, and it forms this crystal. So it is out of this world. It's not, it's an alien, that's exactly what it is. It's like you're wearing a meteorite around your neck, really. Only this
and
one
paired
is,
paired with kyanite, what do you think is
green.
The combination?
Well, like I said, kyanite's also a high vibration stone, and it's excellent for attunement and meditation. It's a powerful transmitter and amplifier of high frequency energies. Kyanite never needs cleansing. Kyanite connects to guides and instills compassion, facilitates spiritual maturation or maturity. It's good for accessing dream recall. Kyanite encourages ones to speak their truth. cutting through fear, blockages, ignorance. It opens to spiritual and psychological truth, slices through confusion and dispels blockages. Kyanite's not a joke. That's a tough one. It's a very powerful stone. And then that, in combination with moldavite, you know, that's pretty intense.
It's a powerhouse. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, moldavite has been used since the Stone Age times as a talisman or amulet, you know, for good fortune and fertility. It's a stone of the New Age, bringing you in communication with your higher self, with extraterrestrials. So don't be surprised if you see some UFOs hanging around your house. You know, moldavite has its own cosmic connection, which puts you in touch with the ascended masters and cosmic messengers, facilitating the ascension process. So you're going to, when you're meditating with this stone, for example, you're going to ascend at a faster rate than you used to.
Okay.
So just be prepared for that. It integrates the divine blueprint and accelerates spiritual growth by downloading the information from the Akashic Record and the light body, which is the higher consciousness. And that has to be processed and made conscious into thought. And that can cause anxiety. Like when you download these informations, it downloads a lot quicker than our minds can process it at this point in their development. So you can feel anxious for a while until it comes to fruition or fruition, and you're able to process it consciously. And then you can, oh, okay, I understand what's happening now, and go ahead and move forward with it. Under the influence of moldavite, you can go forward to a future life to see the results of actions taken in the present, or to learn what is needed now to prevent destruction in the future. So it's very good for divination. Moldavite's a useful stone for sensitive people who find it difficult being incarnation on Earth. It assists developing detachment from security issues such as money and worries for the future, providing an overview of reasons for incarnating and spiritual purposes. And integrating this into earthly life, moldavite releases fixed ideas and outworn belief systems and can neutralize hypnotic commands instilled in the past. So basically paradigms that people have grown up with, for example, moldavite can just shatter those, the narrow-mindedness or whatever those paradigms might be. So those two crystals together, definitely a powerhouse.
Okay.
No joke. Might want to take a break from them every now and then. Better yet, add some smoky quartz or hematite with it, like wear a piece of hematite jewelry or smoky quartz to help kind of offset the high frequency and intense properties of those two, the kyanite and the moldavite together.
Can it affect the body inadvertently, where, you know, drain the energy or anything like that? Do you have any concerns about that, Jessica?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. Simply because crystals, they do good. They don't harm. The only way you could hurt yourself with one is if, for example, you handled sulfur and you ate it, or raw malachite and you licked it or something like that. Don't do that because they're poisonous.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Right. So there are some that are poisonous. That's true, in their raw states. Malachite is a copper ore, is a type of copper ore, and can be toxic, especially to children and animals, when it's in its raw form. But when it's tumbled, you know, you still don't want to go licking it or anything or chewing on it because it can make you sick. It's a possibility. But that's basically because of misuse. If you're using it the way it's intended, no, it's not going to hurt you. I hope that helps a little.
Yes, it does.
What about lapis lazuli?
Oh, lapis. Lapis is a good one for meditation and accessing the higher spiritual consciousness. As you know, it was favored by the Egyptians, and they definitely had a higher consciousness happening. I actually have a big lapis sphere. My husband does. I thought it was sitting over here. Sorry. I thought I saw it. Never mind. But and then it also has pyrite in it, iron pyrite in it as well. Lapis typically does anyway. So you pick up some of the properties from the pyrite as well. And let me just double check here what I want to see. And so the name lapis lazuli comes from the Persian lazuard, blue, prized for thousands of years. It was a favored stone in ancient Egypt, where it was believed to lead the soul into immortality and open the heart to love. It's a royal stone. It was said to contain the soul of the gods, a metaphysical stone par excellence. Lapis lazuli is a key to spiritual attainment, enhancing dream work and metaphysical abilities. It facilitates spiritual journeying and stimulates personal and spiritual power. Possessing enormous serenity, lapis lazuli is protective, alerting you to psychic attack. It returns the energy to its source, so it actually reflects it rather than absorbing it or transmuting it. The stone highlights the power of the spoken word and can reverse curses or disease caused by not speaking out. Harmonizing body, emotion, mind, and spirit, it brings deep inner self-knowledge and multidimensional cellular healing. A powerful thought amplifier, lapis lazuli stimulates higher mental facilities, encourages creativity. And like I said, I found it to be a fabulous meditation stone to really connect to the higher planes of existence and be able to communicate with beings on those planes. Lapis is really, really good for that.
Yeah, it's a really, I used to have some. It's a really neat, kind of a pretty blue with the little gold specks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's also a bonding stone in love and friendship. So that's another one that is good for partnerships, as well as the selenite and rose quartz. And lapis is also a high vibration stone. So there's
that.
I
get that confused with sodalite, lapis with sodalite.
Oh, yes. Well, that's because, I'll tell you why, because sodalite's cheap and lapis isn't. A lot of merchants dye sodalite blue and say it's lapis, and then when you wear it, the dye rubs off, and you realize that, you know, oh, this is sodalite, not lapis. I've actually bought lapis beads at like $20 a strand, and when I strung them, about 3 weeks later, the blue started rubbing off on the band, and I realized that I bought sodalite for an inflated price. I was pretty ticked about that. That happens a lot. So you got to really make sure what you have is what it's supposed to be.
That's interesting. Wow.
Well, you know, I'm just looking at the clock, and we're about out of time. So.
Oh, wow.
I know. It just flew by.
It did. Well, another one you want to watch out for real quick is turquoise. Oftentimes, you'll find turquoise like in a bulk bead store or something like that. It's dyed howlite. It's not real turquoise. And the way you can tell typically is because it's like a brilliant, beautiful colored turquoise that almost looks fake. It's because it's dyed howlite. It's not turquoise. So be careful with that too, because that's another stone that vendors or merchants like to dye a different color and sell it as turquoise when it's not, it's howlite. So that one.
Wow,
and,
thank
yeah,
you.
You bet. Yeah, and both of those, you know, I know that from personal experience because I thought I was buying turquoise and it turned out it was howlite. And I was like, hey, wait,
oh,
what?
Wow.
You guys need to take about $20 off that price. So.
Is sodalite, even though it is still a good stone, correct? Can I
ask
you? I mean, this just has a different metaphysical property, correct?
Right, yeah, different. I'm not real familiar with sodalite off the top of my head, but I could look it up real quick if you have time. I don't know. Do we have time, JP?
We've got a couple minutes, yeah, if you want to look it up real quick.
Okay. Well, I'm trying. I can't seem to find it. There we go. Okay, here we go. It wanted to hide from me. There we go. So, and just for reference, I'm doing a quick reference from Judy Hall's book, The Encyclopedia of Crystals, because this one I don't know this one off the top of my head. So, uniting logic with intuition, sodalite opens spiritual perception, bringing the higher mind down to the physical. The stone stimulates the pineal and pituitary glands, harmonizes with the third eye, and deepens meditation to understand the circumstance in which you find yourself. Instilling a drive for truth and an urge toward idealism, sodalite encourages being true to yourself and standing up for your beliefs. Eliminating confusion and intellectual bondage, it releases mental conditioning and rigid beliefs. creating space to put new insights into practice, bringing about emotional balance. Soda light transforms a defensive or oversensitive personality, releasing core fears and control mechanisms, and integrating shadow qualities. Useful for groups, it brings harmony and solidarity of purpose, stimulating trust and companionship, and encouraging interdependence. Soda light clears electromagnetic pollution and can be placed on computers to do so. So there you go.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of electromagnetic pollution.
Yes, and you know,
I have the meters, and if you walk around your house and with that, that's crazy.
Wow. Well, one of the best crystals for that is black tourmaline. It'll just suck it right up. It's awesome. We have a big, tall black tourmaline tower next to where we keep the modem and the phone and all that stuff, just to kind of suck up that electromagnetic smog.
Yeah, it's measured in milligauss, and I don't know, I'm not a scientist or anything, but normally when you walk around, it's either zero or like maybe up to 0.5, but what people don't realize is a lot of people have alarm clocks by their bed, and if you take one of these EMF meters and you look at the levels that alarm clocks, they're notorious. They put out thousands.
Whoa,
of
really?
Thousands of milligauss, and it's just, you're basically sleeping your head and bombarding it with high EMF. It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh, no kidding.
Yeah, and you can actually, some people are more susceptible than others, but there are physical ramifications to getting dosed like that at really high levels.
Yeah, it could probably make you feel sick, like have headaches and nervousness and things like that probably.
Yeah, all that stuff in real susceptible people can even cause, you know, hallucinations and just weird things.
Right. Yeah, like the feelings of dread in your basement or whatever can actually be electromagnetic fields. I think I've seen that on Ghost Hunters or something.
Yeah, sure.
Huh. Wow. Yeah. Well, black tourmaline's a real good one for that.
So there's the word of wisdom for the day is don't sleep with your heads so close to the alarm clocks. Now, the field dissipates as you get farther away, but, you know, sleep with it at least a few feet away from your head.
Well, yeah, or just put it across the room so you have to get up to at least hit snooze. No?
Get one of those ones that projects the number on the ceiling so you can put it somewhere else.
There you go. Oh, that would drive me insane.
Anyway, we are out of time. I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking about crystals. It was a good refresher for me because it had been such a long time.
Well, good. I hope you get yourself some stones, Jason.
I'm going to Amazon it. I actually, like I said earlier, I had no idea that you could do that, that they would sell that on Amazon. But I don't know why I didn't think it, because Amazon sells everything. So I'm going to check it out tonight.
Perfect. Well, good luck. And
well,
thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
Well,
thank you for coming on
the show, and I hope that our listeners can benefit for the descriptions of what you did. You did a very good job. I'm really happy. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All righty.
Good guess. Sure. Really happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's so many crystals. And stones out there, Jason. You don't know what there are for, and it's kind of nice to know that something has some type of benefit for it. So,
and it makes perfect sense. You know, we're all vibrations, and crystals and rocks are no different. So it makes sense that it could have some sort of effect in the physical and spiritual realm. But we were talking earlier, and I think we're going to do like open lines next week, right?
Yes. How about that? We haven't had open lines for almost 2 months now. It'd be time for open lines and be able to just kind of wing it. That would be awesome and get some viewer participation. And, that'd be awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I like doing
all
that.
All right.
We'll come up with some subject and news and all that. But do you have anything else?
No, we don't. Not at this time. And I'm glad you didn't fall off the face of the earth. I was kind of worried. I said,
no.
Oh, it's not the same without you, Jason.
Yeah, well, my mic is, I don't know, it's touchy. But anyway, well,
I'm glad you're back on.
Yeah, I was worried that I wasn't going
to
be able.
So that's okay, but, you know, it's not the same unless you have company. But anyway, thank you, everybody, for listening and supporting us. And like I said, if you guys have any subjects that you would like us to cover or anything, give us a shout on Facebook, or just go and on air, just leave a chat or just call in. So anyway, thank you for just your participation.
Absolutely, and we'll see everybody next week, 8 p.m. West Coast time, and hope everybody has a great week. And with that, we'll bid you adieu, and talk to you guys next week. See you later.
Take care, everybody. Peace.
Good night.